Hello and welcome to the penultimate edition of Daily Info's Oxcast. If you want any events for the year of 2013, this is your second to last chance to get some.
We will be back in 2014 though, we're not going forever, don't worry.
I know that your lives would be bereft without us trickling into your ears. This week I'm going to be talking about aristocratic comedy, Jack Whitehall and a man from space.
And I'm going to explain why town will be inundated by Santos and where you can hear bagpipes and Baroque violin. We'll also have Hinnian telling us about all the highlights of the Christmas concerts and carol ceremonies.
Let's get kicked off then. First of all is a fantastic Christmas show which is on at the moment at the Pegasus Theatre. It's called I'm an Aristocrat, Get Me Out of Here, an extremely topical reference given that the celebrity reality shows continue to run. It's another show by Gonzo Moose Theatre, who did a really, really good show last year called What the Dickens.
And they did another one the year before as well. They kind of always pick a sort of like era and a theme to go with, and they devise a kind of family fun show around that.
Yeah, it's a sort of horrible histories festive show. This one is based in the French Revolution, as you might guess from the name. It's a love story. It's about Marie Antoinette and Louis XVI and them trying to run around and not lose their heads. Joke, joke. The company promise thrills, adventure and death-defying French accents.
That's what I want. Yeah. I also want Les Mis references, but I don't know if they've promised that.
You don't know if they've been promised, but you might well be lucky. You never know. Our reviewer, Alison Bolton, went along this week and she said that it hits the festive spot with a thwack and twang of energy. Strong use of sound effects there. Children will love it and adults will be glad they came, which I think is a strong recommendation. This is a bit less of a Christmas show, I think. It's more of a kind of horrible histories sort of style, sort of funny, amusing. If you like a bit of Blackadder, you'll probably like this. But it's a great show and it's on until the 5th of January at the Pegasus Theatre.
And the Pegasus have also decked out their foyer and theatre and it looks amazing. So when you go there, do actually take it all in before you go into the actual room. There's lots and lots to enjoy in the box office space.
Sounds fantastic. Well, tell us about another show that we could go along to see at Christmas.
Well, we've got Creation's show. Creation often offer an alternative to pantomime, similar to the way the Pegasus do. And this year, their alternative Christmas show is a musical adaptation of C.S. Lewis's first Narnia tale, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
The best of them all, in my humble opinion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, naturally.
It's a tale many will be familiar with, and it's been condensed into a family show of tons and tons of songs, which are beautifully sung. Our reviewer went along this weekend, and she said, Creation Theatre's productions have at their core excellent performers. I say performers because these nine people have to both sing and act, and they do this magnificently. Some of the music is quite challenging, but all of them rise to the task. So expect a lot of very big songs. But also in this production, it's not cutesy. It's not kind of Narnia made all cuddly and adorable and watered down or anything. The White Witch and her wolf, Morgrim, are actually quite terrifying.
Dark and scary.
And it opens with a very dark scene with soldiers kind of walking through war and air raids. So it really does set it in the real life history and not just go all about the magic and that kind of thing.
And amazing sort of production from what I've heard in terms of like costumes and sets. You've got a great big Aslan down there, haven't you?
Yes, so there's puppetry, which involves Aslan. There's also some silly dancing, obviously a good old battle between good and evil. So it's really a very epic show, should be memorable and a really creative take on the tale. So recommended viewing. It runs until the 4th of January at the Northwall Arts Centre.
And of course, if you want showtimes for any of these shows that we're mentioning, they're always available on dailyinfo.co.uk. Now, I've got something perhaps a little more skewed for adults. This one probably isn't a children's show. Not because it's particularly dirty, but because...
I'm sure there's some dirt in it.
Yeah, almost certainly, yeah. It's a medieval Latin dictionary event. Now, don't turn the podcast off just yet. Oxford University are publishing a book that has been in the works for more than 100 years, and it's going to be the definitive dictionary of medieval Latin. It's going to be talking about a time when a single language was spoken by the elite and the artistic, you know, literati across the whole of Europe. And we've actually got a talk. We sent along Emma Pearson. She's our resident classics expert, and she's talking to Mark Thacker.
So there's a cause for celebration this year in Oxford, and I have with me here Mark Thacker, who has been one of the dictionary's assistant editors, and he's here to talk to us about it. Hi, Mark. Thanks very much for coming in.
Great.
So can you tell me a bit about the project itself? It's been very long in duration, started in 1913. So why now? Why do we need a new medieval Latin lexicon?
Well, this was something that was felt as a pretty pressing need in 1913 when it was suggested. The Standard Dictionary of Medieval Latin actually was produced in the late 17th century.
Okay.
So there was a feeling that it was perhaps getting a little out of date. Partly this was because many more sources have been found since then. The 17th century dictionary had largely been the work of one man, and while it's very impressive for a work of that kind, it was limited in ways that that could be improved on. It also had the strange feature that its definitions were written in Latin, which is of limited use. Certainly these days it's of almost no use whatsoever, and even in 1913 it was less than ideal.
So you're coming to the dictionary to translate a Latin passage not knowing what the Latin says, and then all the definitions are in Latin?
That's right, yes. It was written for an older world when people just spoke Latin, as it were, at least literate, learned people did. So what happened was that an Oxford academic called Whitwell, he got a group of scholars together to say, we want this to happen, but it's going to have to be a big project, so we need to get multiple countries involved. Given the vast number of documents in medieval Latin across Europe, so a proposal was made at an international congress of historical studies, and people seemed to be quite enthusiastic about the idea. It was a recognised need. And so there was this amazing spirit of potential international cooperation, which unfortunately fell foul of the First World War.
Of course, yeah.
Well, of course, one doesn't want to belittle the significance of the war, but one of the minor casualties of this event was this project, this international project. So it was only in 1920 that anything started happening about it at all. And of course, by then there were some deep-rooted disagreements between people that weren't exactly rational. So it was quite difficult to get the different countries to agree on what this project would actually look like. And that really is why we've ended up with a British dictionary. There's also a German dictionary, and there's a Finnish dictionary, Polish, Dutch. The thought was that since there was a lot of source material, and since the different countries had very different ideas about what these dictionaries should focus on, it was best if they all did their own thing. Which has a certain sense to it, because the influences that come into the Latin are different in different countries.
Sure.
Obviously in Britain we have French and English being the primary source of imported words. In Poland they have a very different set of local farming terms and that sort of thing. So really, a full comprehensive dictionary would have been a very unwieldy creature.
If you like the sound of that, you can head along. There's an exhibition at the Bodleian Library showing many of the original texts that this dictionary is drawn on. And tomorrow you can go to a talk by Dr. David Howlett. Now, he's a relative newcomer to this project. He's only been its editor for 34 years, as opposed to the 100 it's been in the works. He's talking about the problems they faced and getting the project off the ground. And that's at 4:30 on Thursday, the 12th of December, and it's free at the Bodleian Library.
We also have an extended interview between Emma and Mark. If you look at the Oxcast extras, you can have about half an hour or so of very, very passionate people talking about very fascinating classical history and medieval language facts.
Everything you ever wanted to know about Latin but were scared to ask.
Well, back onto the Christmas shows. Art at the Old Fire Station is housed alongside Crisis Skylight on George Street, which you may or may not know. And Crisis Skylight is a charity that helps homeless people, which is obviously a serious problem in Oxford and in many other places. And last year, the OFS and Crisis Skylight combined forces to develop a piece together, which this year they've then redeveloped and are opening for four public performances in the Old Fire Station studio.
So this is a piece of theatre?
It's a piece of theatre, and it involves professional artists who've worked for several months alongside people who are or have been homeless at some points. And the plot they've been devising is themed around chance. So it's called Hidden Spire, How Lucky Are You? And the plot explores a man who owns a clock shop. Mm-hmm. And the clock shop set design looks really beautiful from what I've seen, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. And it's about his life and his friends and family and neighbours and kind of their various takes on being lucky and chance and kind of their own experiences. And it's just a really exciting production, so it's an alternative Christmas show. It's definitely going to make you feel Christmassy and grateful for what you've got and all those kind of things which Christmas should truly be about. But it's also fantastic to see two charities collaborating together and seeing how arts can help vulnerable people and bring a different kind of heartwarming tale to the Christmas table.
Sounds brilliant.
It's at the Old Fire Station from Thursday to Saturday this week.
Very nice. Well, I've got something else on Thursday, perhaps something a little bit less heartwarming, although certainly not less fun. It's The Darkness, and they're performing at the O2 Academy. Now, if, like me, you're a child of the 90s, you will definitely remember The Darkness.
Were they not noughties?
Yeah, I mean, you know, growing up in the 90s.
Old enough for The Darkness.
Old enough for The Darkness, yeah. But, I mean, you know, Permission to Land, the album of my, 16-year-old self or something
like
that.
Trying to bring glam rock back to the masses.
I think they did pretty well, actually. And they've just been on a great run supporting Lady Gaga, actually, on her recent international tour. They were her, support act, which I think is brilliant. I'd never really thought of Lady Gaga as glam rock, but she definitely does have Yeah, she has a bit of that in there. Anyway, they're gigging again. They're obviously fantastic. They're going to be performing classic hits like Growing On Me and I Believe In A Thing Called Love, but they've also got a selection of material from their new album Hot Cakes, which came out last year and had a lot of very supportive praise and stuff. Doors are going to be open at 7 p.m. on Thursday night, and I for one am going to be there with my eyeliner and my big wig. I'm going to be looking forward to it.
I look forward to your costume.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to see me tomorrow morning, dressed up well.
Also on Thursday, Modern Art Oxford are hosting an after-hours free event from 7 p.m. The event is themed around the exhibition they've got in their project space called after/hours/drop/box.
I think you really need a way to pronounce the forward slash, perhaps one of those clicks like the African languages use,
We can give it a go. So that exhibition is about the relationship between music videos and contemporary art, because obviously as technologies have evolved and as music's evolved, the forms evolve, but then also there's a lot of videography which happens in art now. So it's exploring kind of how those two are linked and the role of the performer as artist, but then consumer and big things like this. And on Thursday night, the curator of this exhibition, John Lawrence, is going to be performing live, so I imagine live mixing, using various artists' video works.
So he's going to be putting together, if you like, a music video or like a remix live on stage.
That's what I imagine.
Wow, brilliant.
Yeah, and live video mixing tends to be really, really fascinating. Mm. And the exhibition is on at MAU until December 31st. If you can't make this event tomorrow night, but the subject takes your fancy, then you can pop along in the next few weeks to go and see the exhibition in the project space after hours drop. Box. I'm using the pause instead of the forward slash.
It's an interesting choice, yeah. I think that the whole issue of how to pronounce punctuation has become really a big issue with the rise of people reading URLs. Do you remember when people used to say on the news, they would say, just go to bbc.backslash.co.whatever.
That's me right now.
Also something for some more music. It's later in the week. It's on Friday night and it's another great band, this time from a little longer ago. Happy Mondays are performing a new tour. They're the Alternative Rockers, back from the 80s, celebrating this time the 25th anniversary of quintessential album Bummed.
Bummed.
Just like saying it. Bummed won a classic album award at the Q Awards, who claim it still sounds as gloriously hedonistic as it did in 1988. May have just made a couple of our listeners feel a little bit older. But anyway, Happy Mondays are on Friday at the O2 Academy, and they're obviously, if you like them, they're going to be great. They're alt-rock, they're fun to listen to, fun to dance to, and that's going to start at 8 p.m.
And you'll be there with your glam rock costume from the previous night, falling off. You'll have the eyeliner smushed down your face, you'll have your clothes ripped, and you'll be ready for the Happy Mondays.
I can't.
Two gigs in a row, and you can do it.
Get the shoulder pads on, get a little bit of cocaine, everything from the 80s.
You may have seen in town, there are 40 wooden German-style chalets being set up on Broad Street this week, as the Oxford Christmas Market is back, and it's opening on Friday and running until Sunday 22nd of December. So you've got 10 days to stock up on Christmas goodies from the market. And there's also various bands and choirs which have been programmed too, to add some Christmas cheer. And the lineup and performance times are all on the Oxford Christmas website if you want to check out those bands. The stalls include Christmas decorations, there's some gourmet food, drinks, jewellery, toys, and lots of other kinds of gifts. It's actually a really, really impressive range, and the exhibitors seem to have been really well selected with lots of really good quality products and also good variety. You can't really miss this market as it's slap bang in the middle of town, but if you do go and explore it, then do go and try and support the artisans under those little temporary wooden homes.
You make it sound as though they're squatting in the middle of Broad Street. Oh! I don't know, this German illegal immigration is just getting out of hand.
And if you want more ideas of what local or independent shops you can buy some interesting gifts from this year, then check out our advent calendar, where each day we have a picture puzzle which represents a shop in Oxford, and once you've worked out the picture puzzle, you can then find that shop and perhaps go and buy from it.
It's really fun. I like it a lot because it makes me feel smug and clever every morning at about 9 a.m, which is just about when I need it. More wonderful Christmas cheer. We've got the Oxford Gospel Choir, who are doing a Christmas show on this Friday and Saturday. It's a Gospel Christmas. We'll feature all of the best-loved festive hymns, all of the classics, something you know to hum along to. And the Oxford Gospel Choir are a really lovely, rousing choir made up mainly from locals. So, it's really great standard, and it's just going to be some really heartwarming, lovely toe-tapping stuff. And that's on this Friday and Saturday. It's at the Wesley Memorial Church on Newin Hall Street.
We have got Hinny in to tell us a bit more about the classical concerts and Christmas carols on in Oxford over the next week. So Hinny, you have picked out some of your favourite-looking Christmassy music over the next week. What's on offer?
Aye, there's a lot going on for Christmas. As you can imagine, people love listening to Christmas music and they also love making Christmas music. So everyone's putting on their carol concert. And it's worth checking out your local church if you live in a village or an area of Oxford to just see what's going on. A lot of the really big things are sold out. So if you really want to go, be careful to book, ring in advance.
Book early next year otherwise.
Yeah.
This is a warning, public warning announcement.
Best to ring Christchurch now for next year. So on Wednesday, there's a group of women who play the harp. And they are called Four Girls, Four Harp. Very what it says on the tin.
Yes.
And they're doing a very Christmassy gig to launch their album at the Church of St. John the Evangelist. And it's 7:30. And it'll be a lively evening of glitz and glamour, it says. And
sparkly harps.
Yeah.
Sparkly girls. Possibly.
Sparkly girls.
Quite
and
probably,
sparkly
yes. All their promo material has them in very nice dresses. So you can go and enjoy their dresses and their music.
A feast for the ears.
Yes, and possibly for the eyes too. So, their repertoire is kind of trad carols, but no doubt they're very cool, glitzy arrangements of them for harps. Friday and Saturday, there's a concert happening both nights that the Woodstock Music Society are putting on in Woodstock at St. Mary Magdalene Church. St. Mary Magdalen Church?
Maudlin in Oxford, I think.
Yeah, it's going
to
be.
Unless it's got an E on the end, in which case I think it has to be Madeline.
And this one's a kind of a gentle, pastoral, Christmassy programme, overwhelmingly 20th century British composers. So you've got Finzi and Holst and Rutter and Britten. It should be a really beautiful, lovely evening, as soft as falling snow.
Yeah.
In part. 7:30, if you fancy heading over to Woodstock on Friday or Saturday night. One of the quintessentially brilliantly Christmassy pieces of music from the Baroque era is Bach's Christmas Oratorio, and you can hear Oxford Philharmonica and Merton College Choir doing that at the Sheldonian Theatre at 7:30 on Saturday.
So it's going to be a pretty good production then.
Yes,
I was going to say that's another book early, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. definitely get booking today. Also, if you fancy singing some Baroque Christmas music rather than just listening, there's a Come and Sing Handel's Messiah, which is a good part of Christmas tradition, I reckon. St Giles Church, 4:30 for the rehearsal, 7:30 for the concert.
Oh gosh, that's a quick turnover.
Yeah. I guess most people doing it will have done it before, but yeah, go along.
Well, I'm going to show them, I'm going to give them some real work.
They're going to need every minute of those 3 hours when Anise turns up.
That's on Saturday, and it's open to anyone who wants to go along. And probably if you have a copy, take it. Oxford Pro Musica singers are doing, also on Saturday, two concerts in St Mary Magdalene Church on Magdalen Street.
Caught out there.
Get both of them in Oxford this time. At 4 o'clock, there's a family favourites Christmas carols sort of thing, and at 7:30, they're doing one by candlelight, which is described as Xmas music through the ages. Sunday, the coffee concert series is really popular, and this one is going to be, no doubt, the most popular of them all. It's a Christmas coffee concert. 11:15, same as it always is every week, at the Holywell Music Rooms. They're doing the Corelli Christmas Concerto and the Vivaldi Four Seasons The Winter Movement from those, and that should be rather nice.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, £11 in. But they're always really busy, so definitely ring up in advance.
Okay.
And finally, on Sunday, the City of Oxford Orchestra, plus massed choirs and Onyx Brass, are doing a good bombastic Christmas thing at the Sheldonian at 7. You can sing carols as well as the audience. They're doing Zadok the Priest by Handel, they're doing In the Bleak Midwinter by Dark, the really nice setting. Some Berlioz, some Ravel, some chromatic-y pastoral stuff, some really loud Christmassy stuff, and it should be wicked.
That sounds fantastic. A great one to finish up
for. Yeah.
There's a lot of music on offer.
Yes.
This week. This is the week for Christmas carols.
Definitely.
Thank you, Hinny.
Thank you very much.
Oof, well, once you've been to every single Christmas concert that's going on...
If you do go to all of those, well done you.
Yeah, and send us some sort of, you know, postcard or something, because we all want to read your name on it. but what else can you do that's Christmassy in Oxford this weekend?
Well, on Saturday, there is a non-religious, non-organised, non-political and not-for-profit event and celebration called SantaCon, which will be taking over the city. On Friday, a meeting point is going to be announced, and then on Saturday from 12 noon, who knows where, Santas will assemble all over the city and embark on parading through town, visiting Oxford landmarks, and also popping into a few pubs along the way.
I think your last thing may give away that this is essentially an organised Santa pub crawl, yes?
It is, but the emphasis is very much, it's all about giving joy, there's to be no lavish behaviour. It's all about fun. And to get involved, you just need a Santa costume and preferably quite a strong liver as well. And if you don't have either of those things, then just keep a lookout for the very merry men and women of Christmas who will be around the city spreading Christmas cheer whilst also probably maybe swaying a little bit.
Getting quite cheery themselves.
And slurring a little bit. Mm. If you don't catch the SantaCon Santas, then you can still see plenty of Santa this weekend, as on Sunday the 15th, it's the annual Santa Fun Run, raising money for Helen Douglas House. It's hugely popular. They've already sold out of the 1,700 places on the run, and 1,700 Santas will be running 2 miles around the city centre, raising money for Helen Douglas House. It's a really, really popular event. Clearly, lots of people participate, but lots of people go and watch as well. Mm-hmm. Great fun for kids. It's a sight to see as well, all the kind of red and white taking over. And it's from 9 a.m. in the centre this Sunday.
If we're lucky, of course, most of the running Santas will also have been on the Santa pub crawl the day before and will be in a fine swaying state, you know.
Yes, there could be a mix between the SantaCon and the Santa Run. If only the SantaCon people walking home after their night out might get stuck in the Santa's running.
Sounds like a good sitcom setup, doesn't it? I've got something on Saturday about lunchtime. If you want to go along to Blackwell's Bookshop, you can meet one of the UK's fastest up-and-coming comedians.
I'm not going to be there. Nobody told me that.
And his dad was going to be my next sentence. So
you,
sorry.
You're coming as well.
This is the kind of material that gets you onto a free podcast, listeners. On the other hand, if you want a real successful career, like, say, Jack Whitehall, who is going to be at Blackwell's...
My brother from another mother.
I see that his dad, Michael Whitehall, is going to have some explaining to do on Saturday then. Jack is obviously a successful comedian. If you've seen anything like Have I Got News For You or any Live at the Apollo... Or
Fresh Meat, Bad Education.
Absolutely anything. He's one of the hottest commodities in comedy at the moment. And his dad is no slouch himself. He was an agent for people like Judi Dench and Colin Firth, amongst others. I wonder if this might have had anything to do with Jack's meteoric rise to fame.
We'll find out by buying their book.
Indeed, yeah. Basically, they are promoting a new book. It's a book called Him and Me, and it's a biography of growing up as father and son. Sort of little story between the two of them there. And it's written by both of them, packed with wonderful anecdotes. And it is described as, brace yourselves, the must-have celebrity biography of 2013. If you want to stack someone's stocking this year, go along. It's a free event at Blackwell's. It's at Saturday at 1 p.m. And you really, really should turn up early because I'm pretty sure it's going to be packed out.
If musicals, pantomimes, family shows or Jack Whitehall aren't your thing...
If you are a cold-hearted Grinch...
But you still want to see some theatre this Christmas, then there's something else for you, something truly traditional... The Oxford Waits will be performing in the Holywell Music Room this Sunday the 15th. They will be putting on a 17th century show with costumes, ballads, bagpipes, Baroque violins all included. So the Oxford Waits are named after a historic band who were popular in the 17th century, and they go about performing renditions of the historic songs and wearing the full get-up.
It's definitely a week for kind of great bands of past years coming back, isn't it? The Darkness, Happy Mondays, and now the Oxford Waits.
Yes, they sound totally brilliant and totally different. And the 17th century, I'm told, is known as a golden era in music, and also because back then, pretty much everyone had at least one instrument at home.
Wow.
So this is the real glory time of music. Never mind the Darkness and the Happy Mondays, this is where it started.
I never thought Anais could get more hipster, but she just got, so...
So if you want to hear what Christmas sounded like in the 17th century, then you want to see the Oxford Waits on Sunday. They're performing at 4 p.m. and 7:30 in the Holywell Music Room.
I've got one more brilliant event. I promised you a man from space, and here he is. He's going to be at Waterstones on Monday lunchtime, but frankly, I'd pop out of work if I were you to go along. It's Commander Chris Hadfield. Now, the name may not immediately ring a bell, although he is, by some metrics, the world's most famous astronaut at the moment. He is the Canadian commander who spent 6 months on the International Space Station, where he became a worldwide sensation for social media posts, for posting pictures of himself and of his amazing views, and most memorably, for doing a cover of David Bowie's classic Space Oddity with a floating guitar. And it's amazing. Chris Hadfield, Commander Hadfield, was so busy We're on first name terms, as you can see. I was so incredibly busy, obviously, with his work while he was up there, but in the very little free time he had, he chose it to do science experiments. He showed us what tears look like in space. He showed us how astronauts eat a burrito, and he did the most incredible music cover. Go to YouTube, Google Space Oddity. I think it's the most famous thing that comes up immediately. His guitar is actually floating as he plays. How cool is this? Anyway, Commander Hadfield has got a new book out. It's called An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth, talking about his beliefs, his passions, and what he's learned from the space program. And you can meet him. He'll be doing a talk. He'll also be signing books. And it's 12 o'clock at Waterstones. It's free, but do turn up early, because otherwise you will not get a seat.
Everything this week's going to go like hotcakes. The carol concerts, Jack, Chris.
The hotcakes in Oxford Christmas Market. Anyway, you've been listening to Daily Info's Oxcast. If you've liked the sound of any of the events we've mentioned, you can find out more about them on www.dailyinfo.co.uk.
We've also got some adverts for jobs if you're looking for some work, and we also advertise rooms to let.
Things you can buy and sell, basically anything you might need, you can find it on dailyinfo.co.uk.
We're also on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Info Oxford.
Or Facebook. Just search Daily Info Oxford.